complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Spirit. We ask your prayer for attention to the chapter we read, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, and to verse 12. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Tremendous truth that salvation is free, freely dispensed to men, freely given. And the God of all grace, who made the promise, instructs us to ask. He made the way. In the gift of his most beloved Son, to descend into this world and be born from the virgin womb as a real man. And that little babe in his mother's arms, needing the warmth, care, attention, the little babe, that little babes do, how, my friends, he was the divine Son. A grand mystery. We can't explain it, we don't pry into the tremendous details and wonderful truths of these things. And my friends, this salvation is given by his coming to us and his going back to heaven for us to receive believers at last into glory, believers from every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue, sinners vile and sinners wretched, sinners undone. Oh, what a sure promise is in the name of Jesus. And the apostle delighted to declare him. Oh, Peter and James and John, yes, and later, of course, Paul and each of the apostles, and though ministers, of course, are no longer apostles and haven't quite the apostolic authority, and yet they are the Lord's servants anointed to go and preach the everlasting gospel to every creature. Every creature. What grace ministers need, and what grace indeed we need to endure. And what grace you need, my friends, and I need. You see, the ministers that preach here, they're in the same boat as you, the dear congregation. Got the same wicked hearts, the same human nature, or the same pride, the same unbelief, the same lukewarmness. We're all the same boat, my friends. But here's a sure and sacred declaration. In that name given, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Oh, my friends, what a mercy to have been brought up under the sound of the gospel. I valued it more. Maybe all be taught to value that. That's great salvation, what he's done for us. Do you remember that early call? That heavenly call? Heart opens, in some cases gradually. Other cases somewhat suddenly. Yet led to Christ. And you're still being led to Christ. They walk a Sheker pathway, up and down, twists and turns. Many mistakes, many falls, many backslidings. A heart that always wants to go the wrong way. But oh, the goodness of God. that heavenly call. And you know how you need feeding with the bread of life and the refreshings of the water of life. You see, dear friends, believers are brought to one place, the feet of the Lord Jesus. And here they are taught to dwell and taught, my friends, to continually plead the fresh supplies of grace. There's no salvation outside Christ. Our best is stained and die with sin, or is nothing worth. Many flee to the law and look to the law and fancy because they're not too bad and they've kept much of the law that God accepts them. Sad in our own group of church, you wouldn't think it really, but you meet those who have that same attitude that so many have. But no, dear friends, if God is preparing me and God is preparing for you, we have to go again and again on our knees as beggars for more grace and much more grace. Well, neither is there salvation in any other, for none of the name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Let us try and consider then this blessed person who they preached and the worth and value, infinite value of that name. My dear friends, Jesus came into this world and he gave God all the glory in his lovely, holy, perfect, spotless life. He glorified God in his sufferings and his resurrection. And how he pleased God. He's really the only man that's really fully pleased God. Though it does please God when poor sinners believe, you know, and trust. God is well pleased with them as they trust in his Son, but his work is his work in their heart, isn't it? The Lord Jesus. Let us consider his work and then the worth of his name. What did he do for his church here below? Well, I answer, he did everything. Believer, seeking soul, Jesus done everything for you to bring you safely home to glory. The church is safe. Though the church may live in dangerous times and be in many dangers, all the persecutions over the centuries in this land and other lands, the persecutions now in other lands, and my friends, what's taking place in our own land, because believers really will come under more increasing pressure to hold fast. And yet, oh friends, they are safe. Safe. So Jesus stooped so low and he indeed walked according to his Father's will and he lived that spotless life. He magnified the law, we read. He magnified it. In every way, ever giving glory to God, ever doing good unto poor men. And he magnified it in telling sinners what they really were, with desire for their salvation. He reproved sinners, especially had harsh words for the Pharisees and the Sadducees, woe unto you. But he's telling them the truth. He wept over Jerusalem. He saw her day of evil coming to Jerusalem and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem that would not believe. Yes, my friends, so he magnified the law for you and I. Oh, what a wonderful truth that is. He never sinned. We can't say that, can we? It's always bubbling up in our heart, isn't it? Again and again. What grace we need. The grace is with him to give to us. He magnified the law. And my friends, he suffers as he magnified the law at the hands of men. But my friends, He fulfilled the law in his perfect obedience, his love to God and his love to his neighbours. He magnified the law because it says, thou shalt not bear false witness. He never bore any false witness. When he said, woe to the Pharisees and Sadducees, those who despise others, he was telling the truth. He wasn't bearing false witness. Oh, my friends, it's a wonderful truth. I can never forget that when it first seemed sacred to me. It mustn't be too personal, of course, but when I perceived and saw I was righteous in him. This is the work of God, you believe on him with sent. You know, immediately I saw he died for the ungodly. He shed his blood. He lived the godly life I was struggling to live and couldn't do it. Ponder these things. And he made a complete atonement by his death. It was a terrible death. Obviously, my friends, there was the outward suffering of his body. Terrible things were done to him to make him suffer. But oh, his soul was so heavy, exceeding sorrowful unto death. Why, my friends, our Heavenly Father was smiting his servant, his righteous servant he uphold. Oh, how he laid our sins upon him, poured out his soul unto death. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. You and I tend to pray earnestly when we're in trouble. We always try and pray sincerely, Lord helping us. We would pray reverently. But notice this, see, he being in agony, prayed more earnestly. He sweat of great drops of blood falling to the ground. And an angel came to strengthen him. You know, we don't see the angels. We are strengthened by faith. And no doubt the Lord does strengthen us. And he does send angels, unseen powers. We never see them, of course. But to deliver you and rescue you in certain situations. What a mercy. Perhaps driving on the road, you can see a sudden problem that happens all so quickly, doesn't it? In a matter of a few split seconds. And you avoid something. You could have had a terrible accident. That's the loving care of God. And my dear friends, you see, he has saved us and washed us in his own blood. The sure promise, and often mentions the Lord's Supper, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Well, we don't shed blood, but we plead the blood of the everlasting covenant. The blood of Christ is a precious blood. It really is. And my friends, it's worth and value, and we would plead that precious blood reverently. The poet says something like that. The blood of Christ, a precious blood, cleanses from all sin, doubt it not. And reconciles the soul to God from every folly, from every fault and every sin. Not perhaps quoted that quite correctly, it doesn't matter. It's what he's done, it's the vital point. You and I may be poor and weak in our believing, but he gives eternal life to believe in him and trust in him. That's his work of grace. And therefore, my friends, he expired, he really died and was buried. We believe there was no, I have to always say this or this if I mention these things, there was no division in the Godhead of Father, Son and Holy Ghost when he died. And his sacred humanity, his soul returned to God. A real man. We daren't deny that Jesus being a real man, had body and soul, as we have body and soul, he of course was pure. And my friends, he being divine son all the time. And yes, my friends, he was buried. No corruption. No corruption, no sin. His body remained pristine and pure. And he assumed that body again in his sacred humanity and rose the third day. And where is he now? He's gone to glory, reigning over the church. That same precious Lord Jesus reigning over our lives, ordering our ways safely. Oh, my friends, his lovely, holy person. I can't say I've ever seen the Lord Jesus with my natural eye. And none of you can say that really, can you? But you've seen with the bodily eye. The spiritual eye, I should have said. Our natural bodily eye is not seen, but faith sees. The eternal life he's given you looks to him in every detail. And he orders our way in his kingly glory over us. His holy prerogative over us. He brings the trials and afflictions, sorrows and desperations. We're compelled to pray. Doesn't the poet say, Jesus, my soul is compelled to flee from its wrath and curse to thee, the sorrows of the way. We're brought to know and humbled in this. We need our help, his help every day, don't we? His keeping grace. Not as having any other. But his holy, I would speak reverently, I'm not just trying to say sloppy names as it were, yet his holy, glorious, all-prevailing name of this lovely, precious person. No wonder Gadsby said, oh, that my soul could. Can you say that? Oh, that I could love and praise thee more, Lord. Yes, live near thy heart, thy majesty adore. Oh, my friends, how you long to sing that new song. You will one day. But we've something between us and heaven, haven't we? A valley, a scourge of men, death. Ah, how wonderful, my friend, if you prove and I prove that death has lost its sting. The law's been magnified a bit honourable. Righteousness has been imputed to that poor man that believes. Accounted righteous, therefore, as he lives by faith, so when he comes to he dies in faith. He has all died in faith. And dear friends, therefore, I want to speak of his work in the heart then. This salvation worked out in our lives. How we have to look up continually to the right hand of God, the right hand of power, and trust in him, his wisdom, his integrity, his holy prerogative. He will never do you evil, believer. Chastening, correction, humbling is not doing us evil. It's painful. It's very painful. And some naughty children need lots of chastening more than others, don't they? And sometimes you have to say, Lord, I know thou art not doing me evil, thou art doing me good. Hard to endure sometimes, but he giveth more grace. And when perhaps, of course, you can't spank a child these days, and you must have to be careful that we do it anyway, we shouldn't spank too hard. But when you need to give them a discipline and perhaps a little spanking, as it were, to correct them. You do it in love. Every trial that God brings into our lives is done in his love to us, to bring us to his dear feet, confess our unworthiness, and to trust. Give him the glory. He's the one you need so much. You need his love, need his help, need his mercy, need supporting grace, sustaining grace, upholding grace, and more grace to live more to his glory. Ah, my friends, that living Saviour. And he has many wonderful ways in which he can confirm your soul, you're his. One is this, is it not? The answers to prayer. You can't tell me how many times the Lord has answered your poor prayers, or how many answers to prayer you've had in your life. Innumerable. So many things, so many matters, so many troubles. And we're made to feel our worthiness of any, the least of his blessings, the least of his answers. But the amazing way of God with us, we have to pray our way along. Pray our way along and trust in him and keep looking to him. So think of the answer to your poor prayers. And think of the deliverances you've received. Many deliverances. And he's given you a new heart to want to know him. Yes, to know his majesty, adore his majesty. Gadsby said that 667. Doesn't he say live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice, all his will esteem? It's not that the desire of our soul. He gives a new heart with new desires. This new heart, my friends, is his grace in you. It's a new nature given to you. And his great love with you loves you. Yes, my friends, we live to prove he's exceedingly good. Exceedingly good. And he fully understands, as God's great high priest, your troubles, your sorrows. He measures out our trials according to his wisdom and grace to deal with his children. Now, parents know how to deal with their children. I know people can make comments of, they only do this and only do that. And often people with no children can bring up other people's children better than the parents can themselves. And we get all these things in life, don't we? But no, the Lord knows perfectly how to deal with you and deal with me to bring us to his dear feet. And he made a way for us to go to heaven. You know, dear friends, we must die to go to heaven. Oh, this nature can't go to heaven. It's got to die. This body of death. And as I hinted just now, it is a scourge to man thinking about dying. But he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Where we fear our living and believing comes short. But he, remember this. You're enervated, you're strengthened, you're encouraged to remember he actually did this for you. And this living toward him is the fruit of his resurrection. His great love to you. You desire the knowledge of him. Was a day perhaps you said, I desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Off we go into the world maybe. But my friends, yes, he calls with a definite call. He draws you to his feet. And you may be rubbed under the sound of the gospel. I was. Yet the day comes when that gospel takes power over you. And you're drawn to his dear feet. You desire the knowledge of him. And so he knows how to fit and prepare us to go to heaven. Yes. Our souls, we believe, are washed in his precious blood. The soul really is your spirit in the sense. I know the expression soul, spirit and body, but a lot of controversy about those things, but we're not to go into speculation and imagine things. A man is constituted in two parts, body and spirit. Body and soul. And therefore, my friends, the body, all its corruption must go to death and go to the dust. But the spirit that believes and trusts in the Lord, that heart that's repented, that spirit that acknowledges the Son, makes a delight in the Son, to reverence the Son of God, that spirit returns to God who gave it. And my friends, as Christ will come that second time, we don't need a third coming of Christ or a fourth coming of Christ, the second time, that's an unto salvation, and that body be raised. And the glorified spirits that God, Jesus will bring with him shall be joined indeed to the resurrected bodies, like unto his glorious body. Neither male nor female, but like unto the angels, redeemed with Jesus' precious blood, redeemed. And how happy they will be there. They'll be able to go and see God, the presence of God. No distance, no trials, no ill thoughts, no sudden temptations, no sin. And all great aunt at Gravesend, last time I visited her, I was such an infant, I said, it won't be too long before you're safely gathered. She said, oh, she said, and no more sin. Oh, my Jesus, do come, do come. Pardon the personal note there, but you didn't know anyway. But the point is, friends, you see, we're made ready and there's no sin there. Won't that be a relief? What a difference. No sin, no fear, no distress, no uncertainties, no worries. One expression in the modern world, oh, no worries. Well, yes, we all have much to worry about, but it's nice when somebody comes to you, well, no, don't worry about that matter. But we've many things to worry about, haven't we? Our dying day. But, oh, there's a way. There's a living Lamb. There's a living Saviour. You may go to tell him all your secrets, because God's great high priest, he fully understands all our cases. And his love, he's made the atonement. He's washed our sins away in his own blood. Heavenly Father, love you from all eternity, gave to his dear Son in the eternal counsels. And the everlasting Son in the eternal counsel. Yes, you read him, is Isaiah 30, I think. Where, here am I, send me, the Lord's servant. And so, my friends, how he assumed our nature. And now, gone to glory and reigns there and lives there, looking after us. And he fully understands your personal, private worries. There are things you could not tell another. Things that are particularly galling or worrying to you, nagging temptations, nagging fears, inhibitions, weaknesses in the flesh. Weaknesses in our mind, our poor, fallen human nature. Well, we have many sorrows. But remember, Jesus was a man of sorrows with no sin. We've got sorrows with sin. Doubts and fears get hold of us at times, but he had no sinful thoughts or sinful sorrows. His sorrow, my friends, was the grief he had at receiving your sins, your sinnership upon him. And in his love he wept for Jerusalem. I already mentioned that point. Ah, my friends, how we are sanctified by the Spirit to put our trust and look to our heavenly living high priest, a living Saviour, a living King, one who reigns perfectly over his dear people. Yes, given among men whereby we must be saved. And you know this salvation, everyday salvation, it is in your providence and circumstances, in the exercise of your souls, in being made ready and right at last. Yes, it's an everlasting salvation. Not one of the ransomed of the Lord's people can ever be plucked out of Christ's hands, out of our Father's hand. Oh, those sheep, friends, those precious sheep, love and everlasting love. Ah, they're poor, they're needy. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, the tongue falleth for us, and the Lord will hear them. God shall not forsake them. The pilot is quite right to say it according to the Lord's word. Jesus, having loved his own and loved that were in the world, he loved them to the end. And so, my friend, none shall pluck them out of his hand. Yes, none shall ever take a saint away from God. It's a wonderful truth. Oh, how we do need that exceeding grace to trust in him who cannot lie, who cannot fail. You see, friends, he's your king. He's your elder brother, I say reverently. He's God with us. And you'll see him at last, face to face, but time is going. Neither salvation in any other. None other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Oh, may we trust him. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. None of the ransom shall ever be lost, the poet says. Well, I must come to a conclusion. Sorry about my voice, but I've recently had, I think it was COVID again, and I said, left me a strange voice. Now, finding it hard to express. But yes, beautiful truth. It's God's word. God's word. God's word to sinners. And grace made you a believer. And you're called still to believe and still to trust. And I'm sure the Gentiles trust. Ah, neither salvation, any other. There's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Ah, wonderful truth. Well, maybe you looked up to Jesus. Kind or strong. Pity joined with power. Job said, I know thou canst do everything. May we humbly say the same in asking him to help us and bring us through. He won't, I'll just say this closing thought, he won't answer your prayer always according to your way. He'll answer it and deliver you, but it has to be his way, not our way. Looking unto Jesus. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. Do bless thy word. Pardon all mistakes and mere repetition. But bless the sweet truth of thyself, Lord Jesus, to us poor sinners here today. And takes on our ways in peace and in safety. We plead thy precious, glorious, all-prevailing name, Emmanuel. Amen.